Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to our Easter Sunday evening online service at Lisburn Baptist Church. I hope you've enjoyed our different services over this Easter period, our Good Friday service and our morning service this morning. If you missed those and you're just tuning in to this service, you can get them on our church website or on our church YouTube page. If you look back on our Facebook page as well, there'll be links to that. So I'd encourage you, if you haven't had a chance to tune in, just as we've reflected over this weekend on the death and the resurrection of Christ and the great hope that that brings us as Christians today. This evening we're going to pick up where we left off this morning. This morning we saw the women going to the tomb and finding it empty and telling it to the disciples, and we saw Peter marveling when he got to that tomb and found it empty. This evening we're going to continue on in the account of Luke's gospel as two of the wider disciples make a journey from Jerusalem to a little village called Emmaus, and as they're on that journey, a stranger comes alongside them, and it's a journey that changes their lives forever as the risen Jesus is walking beside them along the road. And we're going to walk along that road tonight and see how through the scriptures we understand the risen Jesus.
Our reading this evening is from Luke chapter 24, verses 13 to 36. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took the bread, and blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?' And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon.' And they told what had happened on the road, and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. As they were talking about these things, Jesus..."
Well, last year a story went viral on the internet of a couple from Australia who were travelling in England. And as they were travelling in England, they were in contact with their son back home in Australia, who was a sports commentator. And they were regaling to him over text message of how they were on this train and there was a rowdy group of men behind them playing Uno, which was very much annoying them. And as it became aware to the people playing Uno that they were annoying other passengers, one of the men came over to the Australian couple and apologise. And he offered to make up for the disruption that they'd caused by taking a photo with this older couple. Now, the older couple thought what he meant was that he would take a photo of them. So they got the man to take the photo of them, and they sent the photo to their son. But alongside sending the photo to their son, they also sent a photo of some of the men who were playing Uno. And of course, the son, looking at the photo, was aghast to realise who it was that these strangers were on this train playing Uno that had so annoyed his parents. The man taking the photo was Paul Pogba, the most expensive football player in the world, the man who had recently won the World Cup. And here he was on this train, and his parents hadn't recognised him. Here were his parents asking this man to take a photo of them when this man was saying he would be in the photo with them. They completely missed his identity and his importance. And his son was aghast as he looked on thousands of miles away that his parents had made such a silly mistake. And it wasn't until it was revealed to them who this person really was. As we continue on and look at chapter 24 tonight, we feel like that son in Australia, don't we? We look on and we see these two disciples walking this road as this stranger comes and joins them. And we know, the reader knows, this is the risen Jesus Christ. But they don't know. They're just focusing on what they know and they understand. And it's as if they're asking this Jesus to look to them rather than them looking to him. And we are frustrated all these thousands of years later at these two disciples who don't see who is in front of them. I just want to pick up on three things from this passage this evening. Firstly, we see a departing discussion. A departing discussion. Secondly, we see a concealed companion. A concealed companion. And thirdly, we see a surprising supper. A surprising supper. So firstly, we see a departing discussion. And we read here in chapter 24 that very day they set out on this journey. Of course, that's harking back to what has happened in these first few verses of Luke 24. This is the first Easter Sunday that Luke is referring for here. These events that we've read this evening, they directly continue on from where we left things this morning with Peter standing at the empty tomb, marveling. These two men go on a journey that same day. So they do. We read that there's two of them. And that really points us back to verse 9 of chapter 24. And we read in verse 9 that when the women come back from the tomb, it says, "And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest." So there were other people there, not just the inner circle of disciples, the 11 disciples. Of course, Judas wasn't there. But these 11 disciples, not only they were told by the women, but there were other disciples, other followers of Jesus there. And that is who two of these are who set out in this journey to Emmaus. They're some of the other disciples of Jesus who were told by the women that the tomb was empty. We read in verse 18 the identity of one of them. Now, one of them, named Cleopas, answered him. So we're only told the identity of one of them. We know nothing else about this man, Cleopas, and he's one of these two. They've heard the testimony of the women, but they don't believe it. You know, that's what we heard in verse 11. After they heard the words, it seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. They've heard this report of the empty tomb, of what these women have brought and testified to, and yet they haven't believed. It seemed like nonsense. And so they depart Jerusalem, they leave Jerusalem, and they begin going on a journey to this village about 7 miles away called Emmaus. And as they make this journey, they're discussing as they go. We read that there in verse 14. It says, "And they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened." They're running over in their heads and in their words, and they're bouncing off each other all the events that have happened in the last week. All the ups and the downs, from the triumphal entry to the arrest of Jesus to his death on the cross to now the empty tomb. They're talking about it all. They're getting it all off their chest. They're trying to work out and help each other understand what on earth has gone wrong. Why all of a sudden now is this tomb empty? And they don't have any answers. They go on a journey. They've heard about the empty tomb, yet they don't go to the empty tomb. No, they go on a journey to Emmaus. They leave Jerusalem, they have a departing discussion. You know, as we think about that all these years later, there are many that do that today, don't they? They hear about Jesus, they hear that he's risen from the dead, they hear the testimony of others. They could have gone with Peter and saw that grave empty for themselves, but they don't. No, instead they leave Jerusalem. There are many who discuss about the resurrection of Jesus and about the gospel and about Christianity. There are many who debate and are conflicted and are drawn to it in the testimony of others, and they know there's something in it. But they depart without answers, and they remain in unbelief. And if that's you this evening, don't be like these two men, leaving Jerusalem without going to the empty tomb for themselves. Look into it for yourself. Discover for yourself that the resurrection of Jesus is real, it's true, and it can change your life today. We see a departing discussion. Secondly, we see a concealed companion. A concealed companion. And we read that in verses 15 to 16. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. The reader knows who this is coming alongside Jesus. They're like the man, all the son in Australia. He knows and he sees the picture. He knows who this man is, and he's so frustrated looking on that his parents don't know who it is. But it hasn't been revealed to them. Well, it's the same here as we read this all these years later. We can see who this is. We're told who this is. This is the risen Jesus Christ who draws alongside him. But God in his providence stops them recognizing him. We read of that a few times in the Gospels, that the resurrected Jesus, the people who encounter him to begin with, his identity is not revealed to them straight away. And yet here we have two disciples burdened and confused about the death of the Messiah, still living in defeat, unbelieving of the testimony that they've heard. And as they discuss these things, the very risen Messiah comes and walks along beside them, and they don't know it. They don't know it. He's walking with them and they don't recognize him. As they bear out their soul about what has gone on, as they don't understand. You know, that's been many of our experience, isn't it? We think back to the time when we came to faith. We look back on that journey of faith that brought us to the place of believing in the death and the resurrection of Jesus, and the experience that we've had of Christ. And we look back on that journey, and maybe we look back and we see all the steps that led to that, all the ways that God guided us, the people he brought into our lives, the messages that we heard, the conflicting thoughts in our heads, as God's word slowly became clear in our minds. And we see that we didn't see him at the time, but Jesus was walking with us that entire journey of faith. He was there. He was challenging us. He was directing us. We didn't see it at the time. We couldn't recognize him, but he was walking along beside us in our journey of faith. And as Jesus draws alongside these disciples, as they don't know who he is, he asks the question in verse 17, well, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? And it's interesting that up until this point, they're moving, they're continuing on their journey as they discuss these things and as Jesus joins them. But we read there that they stop dead in their tracks and they look sad. It's almost like Jesus' question really hits at home for them. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? And it's an ironic scene here. They turn to this stranger who's come alongside him, and they think that this stranger is ignorant. How on earth can this man be leaving Jerusalem and not know what has gone on in the last week? Not know about Jesus, not know that he died, that he was arrested, that he was executed on a cross, not know that there's these rumors going around that he has risen, that the tomb is empty. Where has this guy been? Where has he been? We read that in verses 19 to 24. And he said to them, what things? And they said to him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who had said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. They recollect everything to this stranger who draws alongside him. They think he is ignorant, when in fact the opposite is the case. But notice what I read there, verses 19 to 24. It's all in the past tense. Who was a prophet. They'd hoped he was the one to redeem Israel. Them, or him, they did not see. It's all in the past tense. They're still living in defeat. They still haven't believed. They still haven't grasped it. Their dreams and their hopes about this Jesus are in the past. They don't believe. And they're amazed that this stranger seems to not know about any of these things. But as they almost have a go at this stranger for his ignorance, he retorts back to them. And he shows them that in fact they are the ones that are ignorant. And he does it very strongly. Listen to verses 25 to 27. He said to them, "O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? Beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." It's not the stranger who has been in the dark. It's the disciples on the road to Emmaus who have been in the dark. They're the ones who are dull, who are slow to believe. And it's interesting how this stranger challenges them. This stranger doesn't challenge them that they hadn't believed the account and testimony of the women who had come and told them that the empty tomb was empty. He doesn't challenge them that they themselves didn't go to the empty tomb and see it for themselves. No, he challenges them and he calls them foolish and he calls them slow to believe and dull of heart because they did not understand and believe the scriptures. It's God's word that he challenges them on. It's God's word that he says they are ignorant about. All that they needed to know was in here, was in the word of God that had been given to them. And the stranger explains how it was necessary for the Christ to suffer. It was all in the plan of God that Jesus would die on the cross. And he would do it for a reason. He would do it to take away sin and to defeat sin and to pay for sin. And then he would enter his glory. The scripture had talked about this. It had foretold, it had prophesied that the Messiah would die, that he would die for sin, and then he would rise again in glory. And this stranger is saying to them, "Do you not get this? Do you not understand this? Are you so slow of heart? Are you so foolish that you haven't seen it in the scriptures that you know?" See, we see as Jesus draws along in with his identity concealed, as he becomes their concealed companion, we see that the key to belief, the key to faith, the key to understanding what Easter is all about is found in the scriptures. It's found in the scriptures. You know, when we come to our belief in the resurrection, it's good to look into the evidence. It's good to see the historical evidence that is there. But if we want to believe, we need to turn to God's word. It's God's word that reveals to us the plan of God in Easter, in Jesus' death and resurrection. You know, so many of us focus on detail in every little small fact, on knowing all the arguments of knowing and being able to quote all the ancient works that talked about the resurrection. Now, we try and convince people through our arguments, through the different evidences that we can present. If only we have a full enough proof argument, they'll believe. And all that has its place. It's important that we do know those things and we can share those things. But these disciples knew those things. They had spent time with Jesus. They knew these women who had come and said firsthand that Jesus is risen. You know, they could have gone to that empty tomb and they could have looked around it, but they didn't. So you can have all the evidence in the world and still not believe. The key to belief, the key to understanding the scriptures and the plan of God is in picking up the Bible and seeing it for yourself. The evidence is there, and that's what Jesus does in verse 27. Beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. How does this stranger begin to reveal himself? How does this stranger correct the unbelief and the dullness of heart of these disciples? He takes them to the Word of God. He starts a Bible study with them. He traces this plan of God the whole way through the Bible. He shows that everything that has happened is true and real, and it's what should have happened. It's what God has planned all along. It's found in all the scriptures. And of course, at this time, only the Old Testament had been written. But the whole of the Old Testament, Jesus shows these two disciples on this journey. It all points to Christ. It all points to what has happened that first Easter weekend. It all points to the death of the Messiah on the cross for sin, and in his glory resurrection to defeat death and hell. It all points to that. And we have a little Bible at home that Reuben has, and it's called the Jesus Storybook Bible. And the little tagline of the Jesus Storybook Bible is this: every story whispers the name Jesus. Every story whispers the name Jesus. All we need to know to believe is here. It's in the Word of God that God has given to us. We just need to read it. We need to understand it. We need to apply it. See, in our faith and in our evangelism, as we try and reach out with the gospel to others, apologetics and having a defense of what we believe is important, all those other things of knowing the archaeological evidence and knowing the swoon theory and knowing all these things, it's important, yes. It has their place. But as there's no power in it by itself. What we need is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit to show us more of Scripture. The Holy Spirit to give us understanding of who Jesus is and what he came to do. The Holy Spirit to take our words when we reach out with the gospel, to show others the risen Christ through the Word of God. See, our evangelism is not about clever arguments. It's not about presenting the most evidence. It's not about being able to win someone over by the power of our reasoning. No, we're to show people Jesus through the most powerful weapon that we have, the Word of God. Now, three times in this chapter in Luke 24, we have Jesus opening his disciples' eyes by explaining the Scriptures. The very risen Christ did it. He revealed himself through the Word of God that they had. And that's what we need to do as Christians. And if you're tuning in tonight and you're not a Christian, that's what you need to do. We need to encounter Jesus in God's Word. That's what gives us faith. That's why we believe. If you're listening tonight and you're not a Christian, and you know you need to see more and you want to believe, you're just not there yet, by all means, look at the arguments, look at the evidences, look at the archaeology, look at the different theories, debates, and look at the debates about Christianity and faith. But that won't bring belief. If you want to encounter Jesus, you need to encounter him in God's Word. You need to read the Bible. You need to pray that God would open your eyes. And if you are considering these things, please get in touch with us. I would love just to be able to communicate with you and sit down. And though at the minute we can't do that physically, there's things like Zoom, there's things like Skype, and we could just open the Scriptures together or by email, and we could just talk them through. Get in touch with us. I'd love you to be able to encounter the risen Christ in the Word of God. It's real. He's real. He's risen. And we discover that as the Holy Spirit takes God's Word and opens our eyes to see Christ. That's what happened to these disciples, isn't it? What did they say in verse 32? They said to each other, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the Scriptures?" Have you ever had that experience? Your heart burning within you as you see Christ in the Word of God. That's what believers have. That's what you can have. You can meet Jesus in the Bible. Their hearts burned within them as these disciples encountered Jesus in the Scriptures as well as on the road. We see a concealed companion. Thirdly, we see a surprising supper. A surprising supper. This stranger had shown them Jesus in the Scriptures, but they still don't know that this stranger is Jesus risen, standing in front of them, explaining to them the Scriptures. Jesus still needs to reveal himself. And it's interesting, when you read verse 28, it seems that he wasn't going to reveal himself. He was just going to go on. And yet they convince him to stay. And we read in verses 30 and 31, When he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them, and their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. Some say that Jesus celebrated communion, the Lord's Supper, with them there. This doesn't seem to be the case. Only the bread is mentioned. Jesus disappears halfway through. No, this is Jesus revealing himself in an intimate meal. It's happened time and time again in the Gospels where Jesus reveals more about his identity, more about his mission as he sits and he eats with his disciples. The fog finally lifts for these two disciples. The unbelief is finally stripped away and they recognize, as it's revealed to them, the risen, resurrected Lord Jesus Christ sitting and breaking bread with them. And he'd been with them all along. And with that, he disappears and their journey is complete. And I just love that verse that we shared a few moments ago. I think it's one of the most beautiful verses in the entire Bible. Did not our heart burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened the scriptures to us? What a change that conversation brought in a short journey from Jerusalem to Emmaus. He'd gone from being burdened and sad without hope and unbelief to their hearts being on fire as they encounter the risen Christ through the scriptures and through his presence. You know, folks, we have the same Bible today. We can go on that same journey today. The same Christ speaks to us through his word by the power of the Holy Spirit. The same Christ walks with us through this journey of life as he indwells us by the power of the Holy Spirit when we come to faith in him. And he teaches us about himself, and our hearts can burn within us as we experience our Savior who is risen. And these two disciples, they get up. There's no fear of darkness anymore. There's no fear of danger of robbers. And they run back to Jerusalem. They need to get back. The women were right. He's risen. We've experienced him for ourselves. They sprint back up that road. And they arrive to where the other disciples are. And what? Well, their thunder is stolen. As they're about to open their mouths, someone interrupts them and says, "The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." This band of discouraged disciples who had no faith in verse 11, they already knew Jesus is risen. He's appeared to Peter. And these disciples on the road to Emmaus, their thunder is stolen. The disciples already believe. And yet they're still able to tell what happened to them as they went on these two journeys. The journey to Emmaus, as they experienced the risen Christ, and the journey through the scriptures, as they experienced the risen Christ. And what happens as they tell this, as they all now share in their belief that Jesus is risen? Verse 36, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace to you." And what is the resurrected Jesus, as he stands among them, as they all believe in him, what does he still do in verse 45? We didn't read it, but I'll read it now. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. The resurrected Jesus appears himself, and what does he do? He teaches all through scripture the things about himself. He opens their eyes to the wonder of God's word and how this was all God's plan and how every part of God's word points to what Jesus achieved that Easter. What lessons can we take away from that as we come to a close this evening, as we finish off our Easter services? Well, it shows us, first of all, the importance of Scripture, the importance of God's Word. Are you spending time in God's Word? Have you spent time in God's Word this Easter? Maybe you're feeling far from God. Are you spending time in His Word? Are you seeking His face? He reveals, His Son reveals Himself to us through His Word, as the Holy Spirit takes us and applies to it, and our hearts burn within us as we encounter the risen Christ in the pages of the Bible, as we understand the cross and the resurrection, and we understand what it is to follow and know our God. If you're not a Christian, have you ever read the Bible? Have you ever experienced it for yourself? Have you ever opened your heart up to what God would say to you and how you would experience Jesus risen, sin forgiven, and a new life in him? We also need to make sure that our understanding of Jesus is from Scripture. We can't just make up our own ideas of who Jesus is. A lot of people do that in our world today. No, even the risen Christ pointed these disciples back to Scripture It all talks about him. It shows us who the real Jesus is. And as we go forth to share this good news with others, what is our weapon? What is our tool? It's not our arguments. It's not our intellect. It's not our persuasion. It's not our ability. It's when we take the word of God and through the power of the Holy Spirit, he uses that word to convict others so that they might experience the risen Christ themselves. These two strangers on the road to Emmaus may think this stranger is ignorant. They are the ones that are ignorant. As we finish this evening, let's rejoice in the risen Savior we've experienced. Let's praise him for the hope that we have in him. Let's encounter him more and more in God's word. And let's share him as we share God's word with the lost. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this weekend. We thank you that we have encountered you. We've encountered your Son and your word. We pray, Lord, that you might continue us to grow, to seek your face, to delve deep into your word and into prayer and see more of our God and to be made more like Christ and to walk this road of life with Jesus, the risen Jesus with us. Lord, I pray if anyone doesn't know you that they might delve into your word and discover you and discover the gospel and discover new life in you. So, Father, be with us as we go into another week, whatever this week may throw at us, and all the darkness and all the difficulty. Lord, may the hope of the death and the resurrection of Christ be the peace and the help and the hope of our hearts, and give us opportunity to share it with those who have no hope. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.